Everybody, thanks so much for listening to the Cooligans. In that first segment, the U.S. are about to play Costa Rica. We break it all down, and we do it with Henry Bushnell, the man, the myth, the legend.
And we talk about the Club World Cup, catch up on a lot of the matches, figure out who is going to win this thing. How did a teacher score in the Club World Cup? Yes, that is a real headline. And we talk about the Steve Nash showdown that Alexis hosted. So all this and more today on the Cooligans. Give it up for Zoran Montan.
There we go.
What a race.
Seriously. I did my heart. You know, it's funny. People ask me who I voted for. I said I put my name five times. I put my own name. For those of you who don't know, for the Democratic primary, you rank all the the folks. And right. They kept saying, don't rank Cuomo, right? Because then Cuomo, he could sneak into first by getting ranked in other positions, right? Mm-hmm. You sort of tally up the ranks. I was just joking around. I'm like, I just ranked myself five times. I'm like, let's go, you know? And then Eric Adams, he ranked himself five times. He said he put his own name five times.
Okay. Just, you and Eric Adams, like-minded thinkers.
I got to be honest, there's almost more overlap than I'm comfortable with.
No, but it's an amazing thing to see. Obviously, you know, we're out here. We're here in New York City, near Times Square.
Yeah, man.
And for to have a potential candidate, and we'll see how he does in the general election. You know, right. The general election is going to be wild.
It's going to be wild. They're going to be bringing up some wild stuff. Maybe they'll bring up that he's an Arsenal fan. They're like, how can you trust him? They finished second three times in a row.
Does that mean you are going to finish second?
Yeah, maybe you're such an Arsenal fan. You'll finish second.
So, but no, when it comes to just a little bit of a progressive vision of what this city could look like and be like,
yeah,
it's just awesome to see. And then, but then it is also Cuomo did rank second. We know what he did. We know what he resigned.
Yeah.
Is there no shame anymore? Not just for him.
Why would you even ask that? You've been in this world for the last like 10 years.
But it's so wild to me where like the rules have changed where you know, politicians could have the what was it? The something? I forgot his name.
Dean, wasn't
Mike
it?
Dean.
Yeah. Where, that was it. Ruined his career.
Oh my God. Humiliating. Yeah. How could you humiliate the party?
You could do that right into a prostitute on camera. And they'd be like, hey, I still get my vote.
I love how direct he is. Yeah. You know? Really. Yeah.
Honestly, he speaks like I do. So
and it's so wild where even a resigned and a shamed sex pest in Andrew Cuomo. People were just like, no.
I don't know, dude. I just like him.
I just like him.
I also think it's one of those things of like people will vote for a familiar name.
Like branding,
you're one of these people that's just like very informed. Most people aren't. And they're like, what are you doing again? I just know. I know he's been around.
which is what a luxury and blessing that you can be.
That's what I strive for, is to just not know things.
but to be so influential that the bad things that you do don't really hit the radar for a lot of people.
Buddy, I hate to tell you, but you might want to take a look at the president. I hate to tell you.
Well, is he bad? I'm not paying attention like that.
I don't know. No, Threads just keeps feeding me photos of him wearing a catheter under his suit.
No, so
Threads is crazy.
Congrats to Zohra Mamdani winning the Democratic candidacy for mayor.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting next few
months.
It's
wild that a lot of our friends helped him get this.
Comedian.
Yeah,
the Come Town Boys.
Come Town Boys both did it. Kaniza did it. Mm-hmm. You know, Subway Takes.
Yeah.
I know Kareem's not like your traditional comedian, but he did it. Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, hit us up next time, Zoran. Yeah, so we got to get Zoran on the show.
He's an Arsenal fan. Look at the hat I'm wearing.
Okay. All right. Let's get to it. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
We, as always. We're on Yahoo Sports per use.
Yes.
Back and better than ever. We have, speaking of Yahoo, we have the one and only Henry Bushnell. writer for Yahoo Sports.
Yeah, he's we see him at the water cooler all the time. We're like, okay. Yo, Emery. Yes. Yo, B. Ush. That's his nickname.
B. Ush.
What up, Bush?
Yeah, he loves it when we
Henry
call him that.
H.W. Bush.
You know, it's the kind of, it's the rapport we've developed.
You know what I mean? Just like, he gets it, you know?
But Henry Bush will be previewing the USA Costa Rica Gold Cup match in just a moment.
Old mission accomplished. Henry W. Bush.
With now. Us. So, and we're going to be spending some time talking about the Club World Cup and a couple other things going on in the lives of the Cooligans. But
there's a lot of footy going on.
Gold Cup is happening. So let's get right to it and get Henry, get his take and see what to expect from this game against Costa Rica. Henry Bushnell, thank you so much for joining us. You are currently, where are you stationed right now?
Silver Spring, Maryland, back home after way too long in Miami.
Yes, yeah, you were consuming the Club World Cup out in Miami.
Taking it all in.
Taking it all in.
Its glory.
The humidity, the heat, and some wild Boca fans, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But we're going to talk about the Gold Cup. The U.S. Men's National Team have a quarterfinal match against the Costa Rica. They added the before their country name,
like Ohio State,
like the Bronx. Yeah. Costa Rica now. We should look forward to this because I didn't necessarily expect to be here, but I'm a lot more confident in what this Gold Cup is going to look like. I have gone on record and I said that I did not think that the U.S. would even win the Gold Cup, given how those two friendlies went. But they've kind of changed my mind. And I would love to get your thoughts on what you can expect from them and what you can expect from Costa Rica.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've changed my mind yet, to be honest. Just because of the level of opposition, right? Like, I think it's... Every step of this tournament is a step up, and it kind of goes progressively. And I think Costa Rica is better than even Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia didn't have their full A team either.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a truer test for this team than they've had since the friendlies, really, in this tournament. And I really could see the game going any which way.
I mean, but okay, so you say that, but we've won 5 out of the last 6 against Costa Rica, right? This feels like it should be another stepping stone into the next stage of the Gold Cup for the U.S. And I'm of a firm belief that if the U.S. doesn't win, regardless of all the issues surrounding it, if you don't win the Gold Cup, something bad has happened. I know you're not that confident, but what is it that the U.S. need to do against Costa Rica that would prove to you that they couldn't do in the group stage because obviously the level of competition wasn't so high? What is it that they need to do against Costa Rica to make you go, oh, you know what? We might have a shot here.
So when you think back to that Saudi Arabia game, which was probably the toughest opponent of the three in the group stage, they really struggled to break down a relatively low block, just in possession, right? So I think like that's what I want to see. I think Costa Rica will be maybe a bit more aggressive than that, and they're certainly not just totally going to bunker and put 11 men behind the ball. But there's going to be some of that. There are going to be phases of the game that are like that, and I want to see Malik Tillman playing, you know, everywhere in the final third, and Diego Luna as well, often, you know, getting on the ball in dangerous spaces. There was certainly plenty of that in the first and the third games, but there wasn't much of that against Saudi Arabia, which is a bit tougher opposition. So I want to see a lot of that.
Well, look, I watched the Costa Rica Dominican Republic game, as I'm sure you did as well, Henry.
Yeah.
But after watching that game and watching my Dominican Republic score against Keylor Navas, there's a delusion of like we should have won the group little bit, but there's a certain pride in like if Dominican Republic can play as well as they did, they lost 2-1 and really just from a late mistake, a little high pressure from Costa Rica. And that led to the goal.
I think the U.S. should just body them.
I'm not body them necessarily, but Costa Rica looked like they had a tough time against Dominican Republic. And obviously, the U.S. men's national team, a much better team.
Higher level.
So I would be shocked if Costa Rica, like even if this game went to extra time, because I think the U.S. are obviously not the best team that we have right now, but still much better than Costa Rica. But given your reservations, what changes would you like to see in the game against Costa Rica.
For the U.S.?
Yeah, for the U.S., yeah.
I think they'll probably go back to the lineup that we saw in the first game. So, like, the changes in a way were for this third game against Haiti when they'd already advanced. Yeah. They weren't really playing for much. So I think we'll go back to the personnel of the first game against Trinidad. And then it's just going to be a question of, can they be a bit sharper? Can they be a bit quicker on the ball? Because they're going to need to be against a tougher opposition. And I take your point about Costa Rica struggling with the Dominican Republic, but you saw what they did against Mexico. Like, it's going to be a different type of game.
Sure.
Where they're more in the, like, Costa Rica now is in the role that the Dominican Republic was in against them.
Got it.
Where it's a defense first game, sort of. And that's where the onus then goes on the U.S. to do what Mexico couldn't, frankly.
Right.
Great game for a Jack McGlynn screamer from 30 yards out.
And I'll say this. You're talking about maybe the roster, the squad looking like the first game. I thought that third game squad was better than that first.
It was also against Haiti.
But still, I don't know. I mean, the chemistry is there. I like Brandon Aaronson. I love that. It was a little bit more lively to me. Outside of the, you know, obviously the error from Matt Freeze or Tim Ream, whoever you want to put the kind of blame on, I thought that squad was better. I like that, seeing that. I don't know how you feel. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
The one thing that squad has that the squad from the first two games doesn't have is, like, actual wingers. Right.
Like,
say what you want about Quinn Sullivan, but he's an actual winger who can make stuff happen in wide areas. Right now, the three behind the striker that the U.S. has are all kind of attack. Like, they all prefer to play in the kind of the same central area.
They want to be and holding hands.
More or less. Yeah, that's kind of the motion I'm making. Yeah. And so, like, can you get that attacking width out of the fullbacks, or do you need to introduce at least one true winger to kind of get that?
Yeah.
I think that's where the question is.
There's, like, a little bit more dynamism, a little bit more speed. I like, you know, even though Malik Tillman didn't, there were a couple, he got a lot of chances. There were goals that were taken back for offside. But just the fact that those opportunities were there was a good sign to see. So I'm hoping the game against Costa Rica looks like that squad against Haiti.
I mean, they did win three in a row, right? And against, you know, on the back of those two terrible friendlies.
Right.
It feels like we're heading in a positive direction. There's been a lot of players that have impressed. You mentioned Malik Tillman. Malik Tillman, to me, is the star of this national team at the moment with this squad. There's a player that I don't think has impressed as much in a Patrick Adjumang. But he just potentially, right? It's not official
yet.
Has sealed potentially a move to Derby County. What is it that they see that we haven't seen in this national team makeup? And do we think maybe this is a little bit too much too soon for a player of his ilk?
I think it's an interesting step. I think it could work. It could not work. I think there's been a lot of criticism of him. He does a lot of, he's a very active striker, I'd say. And physically he's a handful. Like, he's really difficult for center backs to deal with. Now, sometimes the center backs fail to deal with him, and then he has a sloppy touch and the move goes awry and nothing happens. And that's where fans get frustrated. But he also creates a lot of opportunities for himself just by his activity. And, you know, both his speed and his strength are really difficult for defenses to deal with. So, like, we know he's still raw, and that's what everybody talks about. And that's maybe the hesitation going to a club like Derby County in a league like that. You know, maybe the frustration that builds up because he's so raw will eventually get to him and frustrate his teammates even as well. But he's certainly got a lot of tools that are intriguing and that, like, make him an intriguing option for a potential World Cup roster spot as well.
Yeah, I saw Tim Howard and Landon Donovan talking about him in a clip recently from their podcast. And sometimes I wonder, just because we went through the whole Pulisic saga a couple weeks ago, and how they talk about him and the criticism. And then Tim Howard and Landon Donovan were very generous and graceful with Patrick Achiman. They were just really like, yes, we know he's not perfect, but he scored 5 goals in 6 games. He's basically tied with Jozy Altidore in less amount of games to do that. And Len Donovan was like, yeah, like, you know, kind of like he's a raw talent, but we see what he does. We see what his strengths are. And like, right. he's basically pretty good. Like almost like the criticism is not fair. And that's just something that I think the move to Derby County is like, part of me is like, for Ajima, I'm like, get out of this hug box that you're in right now. Because can't be
full on pressure cooker.
Being like a psychopathic where you have to, you know, you're fighting for promotion and you're fighting for that spot and nobody's here to praise you at all. So, and I remember when, now, especially when you're describing Ajimang's like skills. I played in TST last year and I played against this team called Raleigh Rebels. And there was a guy that, not the exact same build, but probably the same height as Patrick Ajimang. He was a striker. And I remember being there and at like before the game, at halftime, our coach is telling us like, hey, watch him, watch this guy. And this guy was like so physically imposing that it might have been a better finisher than Patrick Ajimang. I don't know. But but he was so physically imposing that if you stuck to him and you just like as and if he's playing like hold up and he's like back trying to receive goal, to goal, and if you try to like get around to like get the ball, guaranteed goal.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Because he was just physically
stronger. He would just turn you.
Physically stronger. And he could.
It's like a Troy Deeney. Like, how do you handle this
exactly.
guy?
Exactly. And that's what I would love Ajimang to kind of become. We can see
it's,
that.
It's like Henry said, it's after the physicality and the turn.
Right.
Can you get a good touch? Can you get a shot on frame? You know?
Because we don't need an American Lukaku.
No.
You know what I mean? Even I highly respect, but you know, Lukaku is a baller and gets unfair criticism, but this is, we're getting into that place where he could become that. Like, we know
everything but most important part of your job.
The most important thing. So,
but also to be fair, if you create 5 chances and totally mess up 4 of them, but score 1 goal per game, like that's still a good output. So like,
that is a good output.
People get frustrated because of all the missed chances, but if you're creating chances for yourself, that's better than just not creating the chances at all, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I just hope it doesn't go like the Daryl Dike way of like, oh, we got this big move, and then I know injuries are a bigger cause for that, but he's kind of disappeared from the argument. So I guess my question is, do you think this move to Derby County puts him in the conversation to potentially be a starter in the World Cup or be in that topic?
I'm not sure it puts him in the conversation to be a starter quite yet, because we see guys who are, I mean, look, Josh Sargent has been killing it in the championship and couldn't even get a call into this camp. So like Poch seems to, almost compared to what a lot of coaches would think, seems to value MLS maybe even more so than the championship. So I don't know that it really changes the conversation, but he certainly will have a opportunity to state a case for the World Cup. Maybe not to be in the starting 11 if everybody's healthy. Like, I don't think he's getting ahead of Ricardo Pepi and Ballo right now, but we've also seen that those guys have had plenty of their injury problems. Yeah, so maybe that spot is open just like it is right now.
I feel like Josh Sargent is like our Santi Jimenez. You know what I mean? Like,
you can only do it in Europe.
Only do it in Europe. As soon as he puts on the national, I mean, it's kind of unbelievable sometimes. Like, we see Josh, we see what he does. We see what he's capable of.
Players are saying he's the best player on the team.
And then as soon as he puts on that USA kit, it is just poof. Like all his powers just completely disappear. Yeah, it's such a shame. But I think it's he's one of those guys. He's had enough chances. And I don't know what. He has to do even better in the championship now. To get that I think another look from Pochettino. Another player, we talked about Malik Tillman, but this is another thing that was in the news, rumored that he might be going to Bayer Leverkusen. Any thoughts on that or how likely? But him going to Bundesliga, I think, especially to a club like that, I think would be a great move.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think he's certainly ready for the step. He's shown he's ready for the step. Yeah. And obviously, and he has shown that he is not only ready to tear up a league like the Dutch Eredivisie, which is week in, week out, not the strongest, but like he's played well in those Champions League games for PSV as well. So now he's essentially going to that level on a week to week basis, more so. not quite the Champions League level.
Sure, sure, sure.
So I think it's, yeah, I think it's a good move for him. It's interesting timing ahead of the World Cup because we'll see if he's guaranteed a place in that starting 11 mm-hmm. week in, week out, like he more or less is at PSV when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a great career move.
That is the one part that sort of worries me a little bit about this move. I have all the confidence that he is the right replacement for Florian Wirtz, which is insane to say because mm-hmm. he just went for a boatload of money. But he was bossing it at PSV. And there's something about like, well, you're going to be playing Champions League, right? And you're going to be playing week in and week out like he was towards the end of the season. You would assume he keeps going on that track and just continues to get better. Maybe that's better for coming into the World Cup in a better form, you know, a little bit looser than sort of maybe fighting for a spot at Bayer Leverkusen.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
but when you get an opportunity like this, he doesn't know if this is going to come up 12 months from now, right? So you kind of got to take it. World Cup aside,
I totally agree with you.
Also, didn't Landon play at Leverkusen?
Am I crazy? He did.
Yeah, Landon
didn't go well, but he did play there.
Sure, he did play there. Chicharito. So CONCACAF has a real connection with Leverkusen. So I think it'll be dope. I mean, the team will look very different, obviously, without Xabi Alonso as the manager. Last thing before we let you go, you have spent a lot of time in Miami, and you've been covering the Club World Cup for Yahoo Sports. We went to our first Club World Cup game, Al-Ahly against Porto, and we had a fantastic time.
The vibes were crazy.
But you went to you're watching Boca. I know you saw Boca Benfica.
Yeah, two of them, and Boca Bayern as well.
Okay. So, Boca Bayern. Bro, a game.
Hold on. All four of those teams start with B's. That's crazy.
And your last name is Bushnell, bro.
No, that's crazy. Bushnell at Boca Bayern or Boca Benfica? Which Bushnell is this, bro?
But the...
Also, at the beginning of the show, I called you Henry W. Bush.
So, we're having a lot of fun.
We said mission accomplished, bro. He's down there at Club World Cup.
But what has your experience been like covering this, and I'll just add this as well. I don't know if you saw that tweet of a fan. I don't remember their name. I saw someone post it, but the tweet of like fans saying, I can't go back to esta noche tenemos que ganar. We need like real chance. Like the Club World Cup has changed my perspective.
Changed the game, bro.
of how Americans and people in America can support the game. And obviously watching Boca,
masterclass in how to be a fan
on the planet. It's just literally one of the best. So what's been your experience like as watching those supporters?
Almost my favorite part was actually the game I wasn't at. It was yesterday in Nashville. There was a weather delay, right? And they tell all the fans to clear out of the stadium. Boca fans were not obeying that. They just stayed. They just stayed and they were singing. They sung all through the weather delay. Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I do hope that one of the biggest things that US-based fans who aren't familiar with South American soccer take away from the Club World Cup is just the depth of passion and the culture connected to these clubs, both the Argentine clubs and the Brazilian clubs. It's just totally something that doesn't exist in any US sport whatsoever.
Go ahead. I was going to say the World Cup is the biggest pageant we have for the sport, but cheering for a nation is not the same in most of these countries as cheering for a club. We're seeing a different level of fandom than we would see during
a
World Cup.
Cheering for a nation could be like, hey, bro, what do you mean?
I know, it's a little bit.
Why are you so into your country?
Why are you so proud right now, bro?
but when you cheer for your club, there's just like...
There's no holds barred.
Yeah,
this is... But like, the Argentina fans love Argentina, but they don't... You don't get to see what we see from the River and Boca fans. It's a different level of fandom. In a way, this might be a precursor to changing the culture here.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, the difference is, and I think the other thing that this Club World Cup has just made us realize is how young these MLS clubs are. Like, this is what we see from the South American fans. This goes back a century. Yeah. Like, the traditions here and just the social connections. And that just doesn't, you know, at most in MLS, that goes back 30 years. And it's totally different in terms of the connection to the community, to the city. Things like that.
Yeah. There's a big difference between a River fan and a Revolution fan. There's
not a lot of Revs tattoos going around, you know?
But yeah, it's been awesome to see. I know you had posted a video of a security guard telling the Boca fans to get off the seats because they were breaking the seats at Hard Rock, Hard Rock Stadium. And not even out of like a thing of like, we're trying to cause destruction. It's just like, I'm just trying to support my club.
I'm jumping up.
Get better
seats. I love the security guard trying to just reason with the guy of like, no, you can't do that. You're damaging property. And he's like, but it's Boca.
Yeah. We're supposed to be damaging property. That's how much I love my team.
No, man, it's been fantastic. So, yeah, you wrote a great article about the South American teams and about how like maybe Europeans or the European clubs kind of underestimating what they've been involved in, because a lot of these big European clubs, they get into, especially in Miami, they're like Bayern Boca. I mean, there's a fair amount of Bayern support, but that stadium was, that might as well be the Bombonera, yeah. Bro. It was really, really wild. I mean, we experienced that with Al Ahly as well. It was just like, it's just like getting to see, it's like it's plopping the supporter section in these other countries and putting them right in the United
America,
States
yeah.
and getting to see that up close. And that was like just really, really cool. So, all right, we're going to talk about some Club World Cup after this as well. But Henry Bushnell of Yahoo Sports, thank you so much for joining us. Go read some of Henry's work on the Yahoo Sports website. Yeah, he does fantastic work, and we always appreciate you taking the time, brother.
Share his articles, because that helps him, right? Then we up the budget. We get to make him travel more.
That's what we need. We're getting Henry a raise. That's the whole point getting him on the pod. Henry, thanks again, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
Ah, come on, Henry Bushnell, the Bushman.
The Bushman.
Let's go, dude.
Isn't Bushman a gun or something? Bushmaster.
Yeah, Bushmaster is a gun. Someone's been playing Deer Hunter.
Okay.
Someone's
nobody
not spending
through.
Time with his kid to be at a bar. All right.
Nobody look at my YouTube video history.
Damn. Yeah, Bushman is also sometimes a term for someone who sells green things in small baggies.
Love it. My Arbor Day, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. You know, it's clippings of Christmas trees.
But thank you, Henry.
Did you know Christmas trees come from farms? I didn't know that.
Okay.
There's like farms that just grow Christmas trees.
Interesting.
It's not just like a field. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought.
It's on purpose.
I thought they came from the North Pole.
Damn, son. Santa. Santa backyard empty, bro. Let us know if you believe in Santa. Put a comment. Why don't we talk a little bit about Club World Cup? Because these games are, they're exciting. They're fun. We just went to Porto Alale, as we found out it's called.
Yeah.
And every Egyptian human being in the New York, New Jersey area was at MetLife. And this was impressive.
Yeah, so let's take a look. Let's go around the league and let's focus on the Club World Cup. Yes, we were at Porto Alale at MetLife Stadium.
Alale, we learned that through the chanting. Alale.
Yeah,
Alale.
Yeah. I hopefully we're saying it right or not. I don't know.
It might be Alale.
We're not even. We're,
bro,
we're
we don't know.
We're offending somebody.
If you tell us, we will say it that way.
Okay. But it was truly one of the. It was the first Club World Cup match that we attended.
Yes.
We're going to another one soon, but this was. When I think of Porto, I think of obviously Portuguese people. There's a lot of Portuguese people in New Jersey.
But they're not from Porto.
They're not from Porto.
Most of the Portuguese people here are from the Lisbon area.
Yeah.
And I know that because a sandwich. I wanted the Francesinha, which is what Porto is known for.
Okay.
It's almost like a croque madame. It's like the Portuguese version of a croque madame or a croque monsieur. And I was like, yeah, how come I can't find it in Newark? I'm looking through all the menus. I don't see one. So I text our friend, Steve Sarah. I was like, yo. Oh, yeah. I can't find it. He's like, oh, that's a Porto sandwich. No Porto people live in New York. There's a few of them in Boston, but for the most part, Lisbon are the people that came here. Porto like had money.
Mm-hmm.
So people didn't leave that area to come to the US. I was like, oh, makes sense. But still, the fact that there's Portuguese people in Newark and this game is taking place in not that far in East Rutherford, I was like, oh, this is gonna be a washout of blue and white.
And there was not. You could barely find any.
It might have been 90-10, maybe 95-5.
100%, yeah, 100%.
No, that is the math if you add it together. That's the goal.
The math is adding up.
Yeah, yeah. The goal is for it to equal 100.
But the
it was an Alale party.
It was, and it was just remarkable. Really, really cool. I mean, mean, there were nearly 40,000 people in attendance, and there are those conversations about like attendance for Club World Cup matches. But there's no issue there. Obviously, it wasn't sold out, but didn't really make a difference. So 40,000 people there at MetLife is still 40,000 people.
Yeah, I get maybe visually on camera, if you're not there, it looks like, oh, the upper bowl is not full, or maybe that second level wasn't fully full. Bro, it was a party. And the atmosphere was amazing.
And it was like 90 degrees in the evening. Humid as hell. It was the game kicked off at 9 o'clock.
Carter came with us. The three of us, we were hanging out in the air-conditioned lounge at halftime, just trying to let our backs dry up.
But shout out to the Al Ahly supporters. That was really, really fun.
Super impressive.
Super cool. Just the chants, the drums, the support. It was just a really, really cool thing to see. So shout out to all the Egyptian folk coming through, because they made it quite an experience. And the game was 4-4. One of the most nobody, because of the standings on the table, and there were obviously the Inter Miami. Palmeiras game was going at the same time. Defending, not even, nobody was interested.
We don't need it.
It was too hot. It was literally like, it's too hot to defend.
They were playing a 0-5-5.
Al Ahly had, they probably had, the game could have been 7 or 8-4.
Yeah.
They had so many chances in the end, but you could tell the Porto defenders were like done with defending.
Yeah.
And then the Al Ahly attackers, we're like, I'm too tired to shoot the ball. It's too hot.
You can't breathe. You can't breathe in that weather.
Yeah. So, the goals were like goals from outside the box.
Zizo.
Back and forth.
Zizo went prime Beckham, bro.
Seriously, one of the more fun games we've gotten to attend. We have to talk about Inter Miami, though, in that same group. Inter Miami are the only MLS team to advance out of the group stage.
Yeah, they make it to the round of 16. Which we should talk about, how impressive is that?
It is. It's a little, I got to say, it's a little less impressive in the fact that they had a 2-0 lead against Palmeiras and ended up drawing the game. They ended up tying and
still
then finished second in the group. And now they have to face PSG. But there's a little bit of like, whoa, they went from just being happy to advance to, yo, we're winning this group.
Yeah.
And maybe we can even think of getting to a semifinal.
Uh-huh.
And just two late goals.
The defending does them in again.
Yeah.
But I will say, right, you list the names of the players on this team, and we've talked about them ad nauseum. You've got your Messi, you've got your Suarez, right? You've got Jordi, you've got Busquets. You name those, and Mascherano being the coach, and you're like, they should be in the round of 16. But at the same time, it's still an MLS club.
Yeah.
The only one to make it through. It's still impressive, but it's also like, should we be impressed?
And not even just an MLS club. It's this MLS club in the way that they play.
Yeah.
I understand they're going to get a couple goals, but we all saw what we saw the last few weeks and just emergency defending over and over and essentially having two, maybe three less defenders when the other team has the ball.
Right.
Because obviously the priority is on, we're not going to ask Messi or Busquets to do that much, especially Suarez. Suarez turning back the clock. That goal against Palmeiras is remarkable.
Now, remember, people were saying he was washed.
Yeah.
Remember that? The conversation was that he was washed at the beginning of this tournament. He was like, let me show you. Let me show you how I could dial it back for at least the game.
It's fascinating. The Club World Cup, the reception to it has been funny because there's a lot of, is that where that guy went?
Yeah.
You know,
Sergio Ramos
is the one
really
that
surprised most
TikTok,
people.
The internet, all the clips, and people have been like, what? Is that where he went?
Mexico. Is he Mexican? Yeah.
And it shows how they say this about American footy fans a lot, that we tend to be more knowledgeable because
we have to be.
We have to be.
Because we watch more.
And we watch more leagues and stuff like that. And it's kind of wild how little the Europeans know about Liga MX.
Once you leave Europe, they have no clue what's going on. And let me be honest, once you leave like the top three.
Right.
No one's watching Jordan Henderson at Ajax right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
You could be the most diehard Jordan Henderson fan. Like, is he still there?
But they're aware of Ajax, right? They see them in maybe Champions League there or Europa. They're aware. they literally do not know Mexico exists and has a proper like league and a lot of money is being spent and stuff like that. So so that's been a funny kind of response to this tournament. But the other MLS club, so LAFC and Seattle Sounders, I expected more from LAFC. I just thought they should.
I mean, they also got in with one of these last second play-in matches. You got in, yo, you good.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Chelsea. Not a shock. The last game against
Esperance. Yeah,
that one. I forget who missed the penalty. There was a missed penalty, but just to lose one. Bwanga missed it.
Of course, Danny Bwanga. Yeah.
But that was one where like, maybe they don't advance, but like.
Get a win.
Yeah, that could have been one where they did something special
Put a little respect on your name, bro.
Sounders, they lose all three games. I think they had a decent showing. I was excited about watching the game against PSG, and they lost 2-0. But
I don't know why you were excited about watching.
I was excited in like how do they do against.
And
this
how
team.
Did your excitement match up to what you saw?
I mean, it was like 75% possession for PSG, but there were a couple of nice. I saw Hakimi after the game speak very highly of the Sounders. He said like, this was a good team, and whether it was like. Just being politically correct and just trying to say the right thing. He didn't have to say that. So right. He spoke positively about them. Auckland City. We haven't spoken about them yet on the show. And
I think we mentioned them briefly.
And they
it's
are
usually in jokes.
A semi-professional team. Uh-huh. I don't know how do they qualify?
They win in New Zealand.
So they...
New Zealand's a very small country.
It's a very, very small country, but... Are all the teams kind of semi-pro? Or they?
Yes, I think they're like the biggest semi-pro team. They're like the Real Madrid, Barcelona.
Interesting.
Of
okay.
New Zealand, but they. So somebody posted that their revenue generally is about around 500 pounds. I think it must have been a British person. So they were talking about pounds.
500,000.
500 million. 500 million. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This is City Football Group.
Wait, no, it's about 500,000 pounds is generally what they got. And they because of all the games they've been in, their revenue now jumps to something like 3 million, if I remember the number correctly.
Gotcha.
Just to give you an idea of how much this
it's a small club.
This changes their lives.
Yeah.
And a bunch of their players, some of their best players couldn't get time off work, so they didn't come.
So they lose in the first game to Bayern Munich 10-0. And that the response from like the goalkeeper went viral because he's like, was it easy giving up 10 goals? No, but like, you know, I'm a carpenter.
Sorry. Dude. Do you need help with a cabinet or anything? I got you. I'll do that better.
I'm on TaskRabbit. Yeah, you need me.
I'm actually working while I'm out here, bro. This is crazy.
Okay. He's just swiping on Hinge. So they lose 10-0. Then they lose 6-0 to Benfica.
Uh-huh.
And then they play Boca Junior. Boca Junior, who also, you know, had a rough go in this tournament. But I remember in the game when they were tied against Bayern at 1-1 and Merentiel scores that, which I think so far best goal of the tournament. Mm. They tied and the announcers, all they're talking about is like, if they get this result, we just got to keep in mind, they play Auckland next. So goal differential, they're going to score.
Right.
Bayern scored 10, Benfica 6, Boca's going to get a bunch there, and right, who right, knows right. where this
you
thing
can rack up goals against Auckland, you know what I mean?
And this game, Auckland, first of all, scores.
That's crazy.
A teacher. He is literally a teacher.
Yes.
Scores a goal.
Also had to ask for time off.
100%. Yeah. Right? Had to get time off. Scores against Boca Juniors, one of the biggest clubs in South America.
Crazy.
All right? And then Boca score. They get an own goal. But this game ends 1-1. Auckland City get a point. Both Boca and Auckland are out of the tournament.
Right.
But this is one of the coolest things, one of the coolest stories, I think, in football.
First of all, for Boca, I don't care that you didn't go through. Who mm-hmm. cares? The vibe from the fans.
Sure.
Literally brought so much to this country. But we've talked about it, how people are tweeting like, yo, we got to do better at MLS clubs. Because look at the way these guys are chanting. It's a different level. It's just a different level of fandom. And there's a really great clip of like a security guard being like, yo, this is crazy. As he's like, there's a group of security guards just watching all these players like in a rotunda, must be attached to a stadium, sort of experiencing what it's like to just see beer surrounded by Boca fans. It's got to be crazy. So the fact that they didn't do it on the pitch, who cares? But there is, you should be a little embarrassed that you let a teacher from New Zealand score on
you. You can't. This is, I had seen a clip of, shout out to our friend Kevincho. Maybe we can put it on.
He's
on
a River fan, so I'm sure he enjoyed this quite a bit.
River fans are good. This is, you don't, you don't ever stop reminding them of this.
Of course.
This is, I mean, it's
The way Boca reminds River they got relegated, they'll be like the ghost of the bee. They put, you know, like the little ghost outfit on a drone with a bee and they fly it around the stadium.
Right.
This will be the same thing to them.
This is for a literal teacher to score on you.
Might and then, even be a literary teacher. Like, we don't know that. You know what I mean?
I don't know if he does social studies or whatever.
What you, English, bro? What you teaching?
But this is one of those things where it's a, like, it's embarrassing for the goal. Yeah, you understand that. But the draw.
That's what I'm talking about. The fact that goal meant something.
Because, look, they're both out and whatever. But, you know, no MLS team let a teacher score on them. You know what I mean? Like, let's not be.
I was watching. I didn't see any
substitute teachers.
I saw no one getting paid in TAM, GAM, none of that gets scored on by an actual teacher. Someone who's more familiar with a chalkboard than they are the pitch.
And it was funny seeing like his post-game comments because he didn't even do the like he got man of the match.
Yeah.
The superior player of the match, that's what they're calling it. And acted like he's been there before. Boca? Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah, he's like, they're pretty good guys.
But a lot of respect for that team.
Much respect. I know they're on the come up. he did what Hakimi did to Sounders. No, you gotta respect them. It's a very good team.
Look, they have a bright future ahead of them.
I'm sorry I had to do them like I did though. You feel me?
The fact that he wasn't excited about it was more disrespectful to me.
Oh, it's so great.
So
River should fly him out to the next Super Clásico that happens at the Monumental.
Guess who's doing the coin toss in his suspenders? bring a pocket protector. Right, and everything.
He got what's the stick they used to point to stuff at? Sure. He got that in his hands, bro. Detention slips for all the Boca fans.
I mean, so that's the kind of banter, at least that this Club World Cup has brought. Because there have been some interesting stories. Now, leading up, we're going into the round of 16. Right now, who do we have as our favorites? What do you think?
I listed PSG as my favorite. I also listed Porto as like my dark horse, and that dark horse is no longer in the race.
Right.
So PSG was my favorite, and I still have to kind of go forward with them as being my favorite. They're just playing at a level where you can be like, all right, even in this competition, is obviously a real competition. It's serious. These teams are taking it serious. It's meaningful matches. There is a slightly lower gear than Champions League final stages where maybe that turns up in these knockout rounds when now there's like serious money attached to it. So we'll see. But for the most part, they still feel like they're in the best form.
Sure. I think and we've seen the complaints from a lot of different players and coaches, and which I think has been another interesting aspect of the Club World Cup. The pitches. Mm-hmm. Luis Enrique went on record saying that the pitches are horrible, that they have to. Jude Bellingham said like they have to pay attention to this for the World Cup next year.
Yeah, he said it's very hard underneath the grass too.
Yeah, and he said the ball is bouncing like way too much and it's difficult on their knees.
Yeah.
Enzo Maresca said, as we're in the middle of a heat wave, Enzo Maresca said with training, he said it is impossible to train in this heat. And I think they did like a maybe 10-minute, 15-minute training session because that's as much as the players could bear. So those aspects of it, I think a lot of people didn't expect. And I think that's why the winner is going to be whoever can kind of manage that, because
maybe it will be Inter Miami then.
So who knows, right?
They play in the summer.
Dortmund, obviously, their clip went viral and they're getting a lot of heat from especially a lot of ex MLS players, Taylor Twellman calling Dortmund soft for the bench players.
The
watching
players
the game,
going inside.
The game from the bench because it was too hot. Bayern Munich did the same thing in their game.
Well, Germany, there's nowhere in Germany that gets as hot.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's interesting. I understand why they would be like, I would want to be indoors. Right. But there's... I wonder if it's like
the only thing in Germany that gets as hot as me when Angela Merkel walks.
Damn, all right, we know your time.
Yeah, the way Carter just looked at me, bro. Carter the mime, just like I slapped a baby
Carter
in a stroller.
He literally just submitted his 2 weeks' notice to Yahoo.
He actually called it a 2-segment notice, which is really messed up, bro. That's the end of this episode.
So,
obviously, I'm joking, everybody.
Who knows?
I mean maybe. Don't look at my search history.
A little bit of truth to some jokes.
Don't look at my search
history. I wonder, because as a person who...
Angela Twerkel.
There it is. Yahoo co-signed that.
Yo, that's part of the official. Put that clip on One Football.
But as people who did not play professionally, there's a certain level of kindness that I want, or grace I want to show those players that are in the locker room watching the game.
We also forget this should be their off season.
Correct, but
and they're having to run around really hot
but then,
weather.
Like, Taylor 12 minutes, Stu Holden, just caps lock is on, being like, yeah. I can't believe how soft these players are, and back in my day, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I understand as an MLS ex MLS players that had to play in Houston Dynamo at 3 p.m.
Right in NFL stadium, they're NFL like, your knees hurt. You know what it's like to play on carpet over concrete.
So I kind of understand both sides to it, but I do think there's a little bit of I don't know if it's a disrespect to the game. To not be, if you're on the bench, you are a substitute. All you got to do is sit down.
We were doing it.
Yeah.
At the Al Ahly game.
we sat down and
watched. You know I asked to go inside. I said, can we watch this from inside? Is there air conditioning?
So is it like a thing that's almost a disrespect to the game itself, to the sport of soccer?
Because it's a winter sport. And I think we all forget that. I think we just keep forgetting that it's a winter sport in most places. It's a fall winter sport. And yeah, spring gets in there. Maybe the last game is a little bit warm in most countries, but it's nothing like this. So because the U.S., I don't think people understand the dramatic differences in the weather in the U.S. Like, you can go to Minnesota and it would be sub-zero, and you can go to Miami and it's hot. You know what I mean? It's like really hot, like tropical. New York City's weather pattern just changed. Now we're called like a subtropical climate now because winters are mild here. The weather's clearly changing. It's getting hotter. You're going to be playing in the middle of the summer. And I'm actually not I maybe playing inside. Maybe that's a protect the players type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe the coaches and the physios were like, let's get these guys inside. So at least we have players that can play in case of something. So I'm not going to, again, I didn't play, so I don't have that in me. But the thing about people complaining about the pitches, that's kind of important though.
Sure.
Like, yo, you got to let us know if we're not doing good, because the World Cup's about to come. Like, you got to let these places know. You can't just put patchwork grass up and be like, it'll be fine. Because even we saw it. We thought like the physio left something out because it was like dirt that had come up from one of the gaps.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, you can't have that.
Yeah, based on what we're having this summer, we know it's going to happen next summer, right? It's going to be probably just as hot.
Yeah,
we're gonna
just as hot.
The World Cup is going to be happening right around now.
Yeah.
And it should be, you would expect another heat wave. And so it's just, and it's interesting, the pitches themselves has been another thing. When like when Mercedes-Benz Stadium put in the grass, there were like NFL players like, oh wow, this must be real nice, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, why can't we do this for the NFL? Like the groundswell of just people advocating for, like, why can't effectively the richest country in the world just invest in the goddamn fields and just and be like the rest of the world? Yes, it's an expense.
Yeah.
But it raises the quality and
World
it protects
Cup's
the players.
The World Cup's gonna be in your stadium. So, you know, it's an expense for a flex.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So look, the Club World Cup is, as far as any other I said Real Madrid early on, I think that they could win it. After watching them, I'm still a little concerned, but they did Asensio got that red card. I forgot who they played against.
And they still won.
And they still won 3-0. So I think that says a lot about where they are as far as just fitness and handling, again, the heat and all those things. Right. So I still think they can do something, but they're still making dumb mistakes throughout this tournament. So
it's too hot.
It's too hot.
I can't think.
Yeah, you know, the heat makes you act a little silly sometimes, okay?
Got me talking about Angela Merkel on this show, bro.
Okay. Little hot boy summer over here.
Angela Twerkle, yo.
All right.
I know she can move it like that. That's crazy.
She's alive, right?
Yeah, I actually don't think she is.
I don't know what happened. Anyway, all right. Well, we got one more segment. We're going to do Run That Back after this, and we're going to talk about a couple things going on in the lives of the Cooligans. We'll be right back after this. All right, let's run that back. It's been a fun week. We've had a bunch of different things
we're active, bro. We're flying hanging around being Cooligans, you know?
I was at Fanatics Fest. Mm-hmm. You were in L.A. I hosted an NYC.
Mad people told me they saw you at Fanatics Fest, man. It must have been like the where to be of soccer influencer, media, content creator.
Yes, it was
dumb.
It was a dope. I mean, yeah, I had to compete with what's his who's the guy on WWE Jay something
John Cena?
No. Well, John Cena was there. I had to compete with him.
I'm thinking,
but the other guy, the guy that says yeet, he goes.
Oh, I have no idea.
Four letters, one word. Yeet. You know that dude?
I've never heard that once in my life, and I was honestly contemplating. Did you have a stroke? I have no idea what just happened.
I mean, I don't really watch wrestling like that. I used to watch when I was a kid, but it's popping up on my TikTok. A lot of kids doing at their graduation ceremonies are walking down on the stage and they do the.
Yeah, they're gonna be so embarrassed in 10 years.
So there were a lot of people. He was there and there were a lot of people dressed as him and things like that. So, but
oh, he's a wrestler. He's not like a camera guy like Kevin Egan used to be.
Right. He is a wrestler. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's not just like a commentator. So FIFA had their like booth and everything. Right. Taking up Javits Center. They had a good activation. But you're competing. All the sports are competing for attention from everybody. So like the wrestling folks are not necessarily hanging out with the soccer folks.
Right.
But we made like the most of it. And like you can also, just a shout out, we did a video I filmed some content there and giving away some free jerseys.
Yeah.
But they were...
Autographed by the team.
It was just so hectic. I was giving away jerseys, right? But before we gave the first one away, I didn't even realize they were autographed. That's how crazy.
It did look like Las Vegas at 2 a.m.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was like
there
mayhem.
Was just so much going on. So even like the people that I was working with, it wasn't like super clear what we were giving away.
Yeah.
And then we gave away like an Inter Miami jersey signed by everybody. I'm like, are these all signed?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. I'm like, all right, let's
should be a little more hype. I should be a little more hype. Yeah.
It was incredible. So that part of it. So go to our Instagram right now if you have not. Instagram.com/soccercooligans. Go there and you can do one of two things. You can comment on the video you can see it'll say Club World Cup jersey giveaway. Mm-hmm. But you can comment on the video and it will if you comment on it, you're in the contest to win an autographed jersey from a Club World Cup team. And if you are already going to the Club World Cup, there's a link in our bio and the link in our story. But if you click on that link and you use our promo code to buy a Club World Cup ticket, you get 5 entries for the autographed jersey. So if you're already going and you're going to get a ticket,
get yourself a couple of entries, baby.
Buy it through our link. The link is in our Instagram bio. And buy it through our link and use the code. And you will get 5 entries to win an autographed jersey. And if you watch the video, I gave the jerseys to a bunch of Porto fans, Ulsan fans.
And Miami.
And again, they all out. When I was asking people like, hey, you want to do this like quick trivia thing? The questions are very easy. But the point of it was really like wanting to give these jerseys to fans of the team, and they lost it, especially the Porto fans. There was a guy, a Porto fan who, it was so funny because he won it and he was like, oh my God, like he did not know that. He knew he was gonna win a jersey. He knew he might win a jersey, but he didn't know it was signed. So he was like, oh my God, I don't have a signed one. He was like aghast. And then he was with his like daughter who was like seven. And as soon as he won it, she said, "Dad, that's mine." And he was like, and we're all like giggling about it. And then the rep that I was working.
You know, he was like, no, it ain't.
No. But the rep was like, oh, we have another one. Do you want her to maybe, you know, answer a question? So I like asked her a question, and then so she won one as well. And she was like super hyped. Yeah, it was really, really cool. Like, because everybody that I had done that with, they were with their families or whatever. Nobody sort of knew what to expect.
Right.
But that's like the nature of like the Fanatics Festival, where it's just like, you know, somebody randomly somebody right. could
you might turn the corner and win a signed shirt.
And that was the coolest part. People were just like, oh my God. I'm like, there's a little bit of like, I'm glad I came here. This is like unbelievable. Yeah, I didn't expect to leave with a signed Messi jersey, Inter Miami jersey. So that part of it was really cool. So shout out to the people from FIFA Club World Cup and very everything. Cool. That was a cool thing to do. So join, participate, and you can win a signed jersey.
Get yourself five entries to win a signed jersey, which is pretty cool. Exactly. That is cool. You know what wasn't cool? The weather outside yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was out there for about 4 hours hosting the Steve Nash Showdown. It used to be called the Showdown in Chinatown or the Chinatown Showdown.
Yeah.
Now it's Steve Nash's foundation runs it, and it's a 501c3. So this is for the kids. It's so cool that to get to do something like this is pretty cool. I remember the first one that they ever did, there was like kids hanging off fences. They didn't tell anyone. Steve Nash just showed up with Henri, who at the time was playing for Barca, and I forget, Giuseppe Rossi. There was a couple of players. Yeah. They just showed up and started playing. And it was like one of those like, it was like a Nike commercial, the first one. People texting each other like, yo, get to Roosevelt Field. Get to Roosevelt Field. Like, Steve Nash just brought everybody out. And we're like, what? I think Nate Robinson played in that one. Yeah. It was bananas, right? So I remember thinking like, man, I wish I was on mic at this thing. This would have crushed it. And I know you were doing the New York City FC thing, which, again, always an honor to do that. This was one of those moments for me. It was like, yo, it's kind of full circle. It's kind of cool. Getting to see like all the, like just the community out. Dude, really hot weather. I was on microphone. I'm like, yo, man, I see some white people sitting in direct sunlight. Do not do this to yourself. Like, yo, some real Nordic looking.
Yeah, yeah. Who are you trying to prove anything to, bro?
Move to the shadows, dog. Like, protect yourself. This one dude, like a dad and his son who were like both 6'8", were sitting in the crowd. Very Nordic looking, very blonde, very fair skin. I'm like, yo, this dude was beat red. And I'm like, yo, we got like three more hours out here.
Yeah.
You got to move. So I'm like trying to make it a joke. But I'm like, honestly, like, you know, your dermatologist is going, thank me, bro. You're going to lobster up quick.
Yeah.
But to see the community come out.
I mean, there were a lot of big names, too.
Huge names. You know, Steve Nash, obviously, right? Charlie Davies was playing in it. Allie Krieger, the homie, she was playing in it. She couldn't stick around too long, but I got to meet Sloan. I got to meet her kiddo.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of the other names.
Edgar Davids,
who we got to talk about.
We got to talk about.
Edgar Davids was there. So before, they had like a youth kind of tournament. And here's what I didn't realize, that there was a 13-year-old girl who ended up playing in the last game. We did like a little surprise where we mixed some of the best players from the youth set up with some of the legends, which is crazy, right? Like, you've got, you know, Sasha Kleshton passing to, you know, a child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is crazy. Those kids must be like, I can't believe Edgar Davids is in front of me. Some of them are less respectful. And you'll hear about that in a second. So, like, I'm on microphone, right? Like, and there was a sort of game, right? In comedy or in improv, we call it a game. It's a game that I kind of developed when we were at the Borussia Dortmund. We called the street game Borussia Dortmund in Times Square.
Yeah.
Where every time you said something about a player that we're like, Cameron would say pause, I said just like my ex, right? So you were like, oh, what a great touch. And I'm like, ooh, just like my ex. And like the crowd kind of got into it.
Yeah.
This was at another level. I don't think the people realized, like, you and I, we say we're comedians. So the other host who does like comedy skits on Instagram.
Right.
He called himself a comedian. I'm like, okay.
All
right. I mean, I get the word covers a good ground. But like, this what I mean when I do, comedy. For me, it's stand-up. And no disrespect to anybody else. I'm like, for me, it's stand-up. So it's a little different. I'm like, me on a microphone, this is what I do. Like, I don't write. I don't do anything else. This is my moment.
Mm-hmm.
So he said like, oh, what a first touch. And I go, damn, reminds me of my ex. Bro, the place went nuts. Edgar Davids came up to me, ran up to me. He was like trying to grab the mic. He's like, no, get the mic out of his hand. Yo, you crazy. Get the mic out of his hand. I'm like, oh my God, this is a wild moment. People were like, yo, you wild for that.
We have very odd interactions with legendary players.
This is our version of assisting, exactly, of getting an assist from the legend. Yeah. And I remember like, people were going nuts. People were like high-fiving me, going crazy. And then Yui goes like, oh, okay, he got fancy feet. I go, damn, just no, he's doing he's doing something with fancy with his feet. I go, man, just like my everyone's like, no. Like, people are like, please don't. I was blowing up, and then I was like, yo, my wife ain't here, right? Like, the attention turned to me, and I'm like, oh my god, there's legends, and people now like staring at me, waiting for another joke. I'm like, yo, my wife ain't here, right? Somebody check. I'm like, by the way, my ex in jail, bro. She ain't getting out. We good. Everybody, yo, you good? And everyone kind of laughed, and obviously we had a good time. So they mixed the legends with the youth at the end of the game. And this little girl, her name's Vic. She's from Long Island. Walked up to her. I'm like, yo, where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. Sweet, sweet young girl. By the end of this game, Midge Purse was like, bro, we got tryouts for Gotham.
Right,
like,
right, right.
This is like, no joke. She good. There was a Utah player, a very sweet New Zealander. I can't remember her name right now. Macy. Marcy?
There's a Macy. Like active?
Yeah. She's
Bell?
Young.
Macy
Bell. Blonde. She's very young. She's an absolute ball. This girl's like, yeah, this girl impressed everyone until this moment. 13-year-old girl from Long Island gets the ball. The clip is going viral now.
We'll play it now. Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it. But that's a wavy footy in Gabe.
Gabriel happened to be in the perfect position for it.
But this is,
there's like 15 angles of this thing.
But this is fantastic.
This is wild. So she's on the touchline and she's like obviously trying to get around. She's straight up like, rolls the ball back
outside the
on Edgar Davids, a 13-year-old girl on Edgar Davids. You remember him, right? Huh? National team player, the shades.
Yeah,
nutmegs him. He busts his ass,
touches the earth, butt bro, to the ground,
bro. He was on the ground. I thought he was playing Twister. I said, this man gave up on soccer. And now he's like,
he's a professional.
He's here, blue hand on blue, and he went down. And the crowd went crazy. He did not handle it well.
He did not handle it well. Yeah, you can see the clip there. He does. This is what you do. When you get nutmegged by a 13-year-old, and regardless of where, what kind of career you've had, you say, respect to you. What an incredible.
You got to go, you got me.
You got me.
Hey, you party with her.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You celebrate.
You know those guys in Europe who like their version of Showtime, they try to nutmeg people in like the
Pana.
In the squares, yeah. Right? All right. You know like when sometimes a pro walk up like, yo, you can't get me. And he does. They do get done.
Yeah.
You got to be like, yo, that's crazy. Yo, this is the guy.
Yeah.
You rich. You played. You did it all. You got nothing to prove.
Exactly. They have nothing to, you've had the historic career. Yeah. Here, you have nothing to prove to this person. And
Edgar was like, I ain't going back in that group chat. Edgar said it. He's like, bro, I'm not doing it.
Edgar Davids said, yo, she is my enemy.
Yeah. She a op, bro. Remember how he was pressing Messi at the last World Cup?
Oh,
he
was
an assistant? Bro, this girl might be next, bro.
Yeah. Which is, look, it says something about the competitiveness that some of these players have. It just really never goes away. But
low key, I turned the mic off, but I walked up to someone. I go, man, must have just been the shades. Maybe that's all he is. It's just a gimmick, bro. People were like, yo, that's massive.
It's like Judah Freelander with a hat.
Yeah, damn, bro. All it is shades, bro. He must have not been good. Maybe it's just the highlights that we see.
My goodness. Yeah. So, he gets nutmegged, and then, but he does the like, no, I got the ball, though. Nah, dog.
Hey, yo, afterwards, he wasn't taking pictures. Like, he didn't want to. He was mad. There was like these massive security guards. These guys look like they played in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And they were there, I think, for like David Love was there. There was a bunch of like, you know, Bobby Cannavale. There was like some actors that had the security detail with them. Because you're in public, you never know if somebody's going to be a little too sturdy. And one of the security guards like, yo, let me help this dude out. Because you could tell he was like, get me out of here. But everyone's stopping for selfies.
Sure.
He did not want to. No, he didn't smile one selfie.
If it's
afterwards, he's like.
It's so surreal. But I have to ask you, because I haven't had a chance to ask you off the air. Did you talk to Steve Nash? And did you ask him to do the show?
100%. Well, first of all, remembered me. And I don't know if that's just because he looked at the documents they give him before.
Okay.
Like, these are the people you're going to be interacting with.
All right.
Remembered me. So did Bobby Cannavale, by the way. And Bobby goes, you still live in the hood? I was like, oh my God.
Hey, all right. Okay.
Asked not only both of them, but I also asked Sean Feeney, who owns the Feeney Pizza chain, and Missy and Lilia.
Okay.
If they want to be on the show. I was like, yo, you got to come to the show. Steve Nash now lives in Arizona.
No excuse.
He no longer lives in New York. So I don't know if it's possible, but he was like, yeah, he gave me the, okay.
He does that podcast with LeBron. Mm-hmm. So, you know. He can get a plane ticket.
But we can send you Riverside Lane.
We can hook you up. Yeah. Bro, we have the technology.
Oh, so you here now, you can afford to be here, bro.
Exactly.
I actually also asked him if he still had his old apartment. I'm like, I'll sublet it. And Charlie was like, could you please leave him alone? I'm like, what you got in your pockets?
So shout out to Steve Nash Showdown, having Alexis Hoss. I had a great time NYCFC Town Hall with David Lee, Aiden O'Neill, and Tiago Martins.
Beautiful.
A lot of fans also super complimentary about Cooligans.
Well, we're busy this week.
Really supportive.
And we got a massive surprise at the end of this week.
Okay, yeah.
We're not talking about it, but
we're not talking about it. So, but yeah, lock in to the Cooligans, because it's a hot Cooligan summer, bro.
Woo!
Thank
Me,
you.
Me, Christian, Carter, Angela. We doing it all, bro.
To work a thon.
She keeps winning, bro.
Okay, wet t-shirt contest. All four of us.
Damn.
Okay.
It's like that ice bath challenge.
It's gonna be fantastic. All right, we'll be back.
We found out she's still alive in the show, by the way, so shouts to Angela.
Just another reminder, Sunday night after the US Costa Rica game, we're gonna be live on YouTube. So lock in.
And we will turn on the air conditioners in this room earlier, so we are not as glistening as we are now.
It is a little bit warm right now, but you know how it is. The heat wave. And you know, the reason it's so hot in New York is because we're here.
Because Angela showed up. Carter does not like these jokes.
I mean, why can't we show respect to a lovely woman? Yeah. No, you can't even talk about women anymore.
No, what is this? The Cuomo first.
You can't compliment them.
This is what Cuomo was talking about.
we started this show, Pearl Zoran.
Yo, Zoran might not come on the show now after we did all that.
All right. We'll see you on Monday. I'll see you on Sunday.
Sunday, yo. Right after the final whistle,
right after
bro.
The final whistle. So join us live here on YouTube.com/soccercooligans. It'll be a lot of fun. All right. We'll see you then. Thank you, everybody, tuning in. Have a good weekend. Stay cool. And yeah, don't go outside if you don't need to. It's not great.
It's
95, 100 degree weather each and every day. All right. We'll see you then, everybody. Take care. Follow us. Everything. Hit like, subscribe.
Hit all the buttons. Hit that bell. Do it all.
Exactly. We'll see you on Sunday. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.